Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. To be specific, the last issue of Torah Tidbits Audio for the Jewish year 5765, the show for Shabbat Parshat Nitzavim and Rosh Hashanah. A lot of things I would like to share with the listeners. We'll get to some of them in Yirtzeh Hashem. There's some music I'd like you to listen to also, to put us into a mood for this ultimate Shabbat of the year. It is no coincidence that Parshat Nitzavim is here. The calendar is orchestrated so that always we read Parshat Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah, right before Rosh Hashanah. Occasionally it's together with Vayelech, in fact more often than not, and once in a while it is alone, as it is this year. But Nitzavim has some beautiful, beautiful messages for us to take into Rosh Hashanah. Good reminders, and we'll talk about some of them. Torah Tidbits Audio comes to you from the OU Israel Center in Yerushalayim. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and let's begin, as we have been many, many shows for the last number of years, with Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. This happens to be the chapter of choice for Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. There is a custom that many communities follow. I say many, once upon a time I would have said a universal custom. It happens to be Minhag Yerushalayim not to say it, but for technical reasons. But this Shir Hamalot Mima'amakim, Psalm 130, will be said beginning with Rosh Hashanah, continuing through the 10 days of penitence, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, through to Yom Kippur, including Yom Kippur, in Shacharit, right before Baruch Hu, when the Chazan finishes Yishtabach, the concluding bracha of Psukei Dezimra, before he says his Chatzi Kaddish leading up to the Baruch Hu that inaugurates Kriyat Shema and its brachot. The custom is to open the Ark and to recite responsively, verse after verse, this Shir HaMa'alot. It reflects something which I have borrowed for every week of the year, every show of the year, and that is a call to God to hear us from the depths from which we call to Him, and to answer our prayers, but not based on merit, which we often sorely lack. Shir HaMa'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shima V'Koli Tihiyena Aznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Imavonot Tishmorya Adonai Miya Amod. Ki Imacha Haslicha L'Ma'an Tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya. Ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela l'ora, u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv, v'nomar amen. Just about every time I record Torah Tidbits Audio, I prepare for it not only in content of what I plan to say, but musical selections which I would like to share with the listenership. Very often, the songs get pushed out of the way because I just had too much that I wanted to say. I'm going to try to say a lot, but also to let you listen to some beautiful and moving and inspiring music. Let's start with one of my favorite Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur albums. It's an old one. Suki and Ding present Mordechai Ben David. The album is called V'chol Ma'aminim. Maybe we'll get to the title piece. But let's start with B'Rosh Hashanah Yikatevu U'V'Yom Tzom Kippur Yechatemun. This is a very dramatic, emotional prayer at the beginning of the repetition of the Musaf, both days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It is the end of Unetane Tokef, and there are many shuls and congregations that do this particular combination of tunes, where the first part is more of a chazan kind of presentation, more of the serious, sober Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur mood. But then, for the end, it moves into a much peppier tone. I remember the first time I heard it in a shul that I was davening in, it threw me, because I had grown up in a chazonos-oriented Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur atmosphere, and the introduction of happy nigunim, happy melodies, was just not done in my particular shul. And I find it very good because of a message that belongs to Rosh Hashanah, and that is be happy and be serious, or be serious and be happy. Is Rosh Hashanah a sad day? No. It is a serious day, but it is also a very joyous day. And I think that's reflected in the two major types of sounds that the shofar makes. The shofar makes a trua sound, a broken sound, that either simulates wailing or sobbing or sighing. We're not exactly sure, and that's why it comes out with a shvarim and a terua, and the combination of a shvarim terua. The common thread of those sounds is they're broken. And broken has that connotation of a broken heart. I think it was the Kutzker Rebbe, maybe someone else, who said there is nothing more perfect than a broken heart. And as a call to repentance and many other aspects of the meaning and symbolisms of shofar, the broken sounds is the focus. The mitzvah of shofar is Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem, have a teruah day, hear that broken sound of the shofar. Yet, there is a rule, and inviolate rule, that every broken sound be preceded by and followed by a peshuta, a plain, long, monotone, unbroken, what we call tekiah, and that has the effect of sandwiching in the broken sound, containing it, limiting it, and preceding and following it by a much happier sound. We consider that peshuta, that long monotone, to be a declaration of our acceptance of God as our King, and we as His loyal subjects. We commemorate the coronation of the King on Rosh Hashanah, the day by our tradition that human beings were created, which means God's subjects on earth were created, which means, in essence, the day that He became our King, or He became King. There are other connotations, for example, the description of the Sinai experience with the sound of a shofar ever increasing. Therefore, when we hear that tekiah, it is an awe-inspiring sound, but not a sad one, not one that attempts to break down our defenses and break our hearts so that we could mend it properly, but one that not only heralds God as the King, but proclaims Him as the one who gave Torah to the people of Israel and the one who chose the people of Israel as His special nation. There is an association of the redemption of the future with the shofar that is described as blowing at the time of the ingathering of the exiles, something which we have been privileged to see the beginning of in our own time, or maybe not the very beginning, maybe it's been going on for quite a while, but certainly events in recent years with the large influx of Jews from the former Soviet Union, and with many, many Jews from Ethiopia, and decades earlier from Yemen and from many other of the Mediterranean countries, Middle Eastern countries, and the increased aliyah from Western countries, from the United States and Canada included. Every time a nefesh benefesh plane load lands, there is a sort of wonderful feeling of being a witness to Kibbutz Galiot, to the ingathering of the exiles. Therefore, I believe Rosh Hashanah itself and the shofar, which is used on Rosh Hashanah to put us into certain moods, calls us to mixed emotions. One of immense joy at being God's people and having Him as our King and as our Avinu Shabashamayim, our Heavenly Father, and the relationship that we have with Him, but the sobering note that we do not always live up to our potential and our partnership in that relationship with God. Hence the Day of Judgment in Yom Kippur and the Slichot before and the Tshuva process, which we'll talk about more later. All of this in long introduction to the song by Mordechai Ben David called Berosh Hashanah, from, as I said, the end of Unatana Tokef and the Musaf of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Day. So we've got three times this coming up. Don't know if your shul does it like this, but this is the way that Mordechai Ben David does it. And to combine that serious chazonasi flavor with a toe-tapping peppy tune, I think is a good blend and a good message for Rosh Hashanah in light of the Tekiya, the Shvarim and Trua, and the Tekiya.
Magi magi voide ho, vi in le fore. koyde hamagdishim shimcha hamagdishim shimcha koyde hamagdishim shimcha koyde durey durey mal durey mal durey matu kesser yitnulako.
Mordechai ben David with Berosh Hashanah, a track from the album V'chol Maminim. I mentioned before that Parshat Nitzavim should not be seen as just coincidentally being the Sedra that happens to wind up each year, the being the Shabbat right before Rosh Hashanah. The calendar is juggled on purpose to make that happen, and there's a beautiful combination of things presented in Parshat Nitzavim, albeit a very small sedra, the second smallest in the whole Torah, 40 psukim. In Parshat Ki Tavo, this past Shabbat, we had one aliyah that had 63 psukim in itself. Nitzavim only has 40 psukim, albeit they are longish psukim. Ironically, the longest psukim in the whole Torah are in the shortest sedra, Vayelech, next week. And the second longest psukim in the whole Torah, on average by words per pasuk, letters per pasuk, is Nitzavim, which is the second shortest sedra. But look at what it has. Following the warnings from last week, Ki Tavo, and from the beginning of Nitzavim this week, we have V'haya Chiyavo'u Alecha Kol HaDvarim Ha'ela, if it'll come to pass. And I say if, not necessarily when, but unfortunately Jewish history has screamed at us when. If it comes to pass that all of the things prophesied will happen, HaBracha, that's the good stuff, the blessings, V'haklala, Asher Natati Lefanecha, Vahashevota el levavecha bechol hagoyim asher hidichacha Hashem Elokecha shama. You will, let's say, have an awakening in the countries of your dispersion. Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha, and you shall return unto God. Vishamata vekolo, and hearken and listen to His voice. Kechol asher anochi mitzavecha hayom, all that I command you this day, ata uvanecha, bechol levavecha, uvechol nafshecha. You will return to God with all of your heart and all of your soul. This, according to many mitzvah counters, is the source of the command, the mitzvah, to repent. Rambam and Sefer Achinuch don't happen to count it among 613 for different reasons. We won't get into that now. But we are focusing on the fact that the Parshat HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading, that is always the one that brings us into Rosh Hashanah, is the one that contains the command to return to God, listen to His voice, do all that we have been commanded, we and our children, with all of our heart and all of our souls. The psukim, the verses that follow, are very meaningful, but let's jump over them for a moment to these. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, for this command, some say that's a general description of all the mitzvot in the Torah, and some relate it to the immediately preceding portion, which was discussing the mitzvah of repentance, the mitzvah to do tshuva. And either way you look at it, it comes out with a powerful statement. But let's apply it, as many of the commentaries do, to the mitzvah of repentance. For this mitzvah that I command you this day, lo nifleti mimacha, v'lo rechokahi, it is not beyond you, and it is not far away from you. It is not in the heavens to say who will go up to the heavens and bring it to us, and we will listen. No. It is not across the sea so that you will say who will cross over to the other side of the ocean and get it for us, and we will listen to it and do it. No. can't use that as an excuse. Too lofty, too removed from me. Wrong. Ki karov eilecha hadavar me'od. The thing, repentance, or all of the Torah, the thing is close to you, very, very close, beficha uvilvavcha la'asoto, in your mouth and in your heart to do. Again, could say a lot about it. Let's suffice it to say that repentance has a component that is in one's mouth, meaning verbal confession, vidui, or shamnu bagadnu, al chet shechatonu lefanecha, etc. And it is in your heart, has to come from your heart, la'asoto, in and to put it into action. You can't just do a cardiac version of repentance, it has to show up in action. Now, the Torah continues with a different topic, but it is very, very much related. Even you could call it a partner to repentance. Re'e natati lefanecha hayom, see that I have given you this day et hachayim ve'et hatov, life and the good, ve'et hamavet ve'et hara, and on the other hand, death and evil. Asher anochi mitzavecha hayom, how would you distinguish between these two things? Well, the good stuff, the life, the good, hachayim v'hatov, is that I command you this day, li'ahavat Hashem Elokecha, lalechet bidrachav, v'lishmor mitzvotav, v'chukotav, v'mishpatav. I command you to love God, to follow in His ways, to keep and preserve and do His mitzvot and His statutes and His chukim. V'chayita v'ravita, you will live and you will flourish. Uveirachecha Hashem Elokecha, and God will bless you. Where? Ba'aretz asher ata v'ashama lirishta, to the land which you are now about to go into. Remember that we're at the end of the book of Devarim, and essentially that book is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to the people about their Jewish life, their Torah way of life that will continue after he's gone and after Yehoshua crosses the Jordan with the people. We're back with Torah Tidbits Audio right before the break for the news update. We were talking about the choice that God gives us, the life and good and the death and evil, and what is the distinguishing feature there. In other words, what is the good and what is the life? That's the good and the life. But the Torah continues to say, if we don't follow God, then we will not have an extended life in this land, etc., etc. In other words, we are presented with a concept, or even plural concepts, of free will and reward and punishment. Both of those concepts are necessary partners to the mitzvah of repentance, because without free will, without accountability for our actions, without reward and punishment, the concept of repentance makes no sense. And sure enough, if you open up Maimonides, Rambam's Hilchot Teshuvah, you will find that there are 10 chapters, that the first 4 chapters, and a little bit later also, are devoted to the mitzvah of repentance and various aspects thereof. But beginning in chapter 5, you have 2 chapters that deal with the concept of free will. And lest you ask yourself, what's this doing here in the middle of the laws of repentance? The Rambam says it himself. By virtue of the fact that we have free will, and only by that virtue, is there a rationale to the concept of tshuva, and therefore our incentive to embark on a pathway of repentance. A lion who attacks a zebra straggling behind a herd and kills it and eats it, and the hyenas that will move in after the lion has finished his meal and finish off the carcass of the zebra, have not committed a moral sin, have no accountability for what they've done. That is their nature. They did not make a conscious choice of what they did. That is how they were created. It is the human being, and only the human being, who is given by God the choice to choose between life and death, between tov and ra, between good and evil. God makes a major recommendation. I put that word in quotes. Uvacharta b'chayim, you shall choose life. That is much more than a recommendation. I don't know if we can actually call it a command, but it's a good thing to do. But the point is, because there is accountability, because a person has the choice of doing what he chooses, then the whole picture is there. In other words, little Parshat Nitzavim, the Parsha right before Rosh Hashanah, presents us with the concept of repentance, the concept of free will, the concept of reward and punishment, which all roll together in, among other works, Maimonides' Laws of Repentance, to give us that package idea and goal for this time of the year. Now I'm doing it again. I have music prepared and I'm not getting to it, so we're going to put in a piece right now, a piece by Ira Heller. A number of weeks ago, I included in the show Atahareta, which I think is one of the most beautiful pieces of music that I've heard in this genre. And on Ira Heller's album, which has Atahareta, there's another piece which I'd like you to listen to now. The words come from the Rosh Hashanah davening. In the middle bracha of the Amidah, the one that deals with the day, Rosh Hashanah, we have Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, God and God of our fathers, Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha, rule the entire world with your honor, v'hinase al kol ha'aretz b'karecha, v'hofa b'hadar ge'onu zecha al kol yoshevei tevel artzecha, rule over the world and rule over all the inhabitants thereof, the Yeda Kol Pu'ul Kiata Pa'alto, and every creature shall know that it was you who created him, referring to human beings, I would imagine, V'yavin Kol Yitzur Kiata Yitzarto, V'yomar Kol Asher Neshama Biapo, anyone with breath in his nostrils, meaning anyone that's alive, should proclaim Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jews, Melech is king, umalchuto bakol mashallah, and his kingdom, kingship, is all-inclusive. A very beautiful idea, beautiful words, and done beautifully in this song by Ira Heller.
I will hold on.
Ira Heller with Meloch, making a very important point about Rosh Hashanah, the major theme, the major focus of Rosh Hashanah is God is King and we are His loyal subjects. We don't talk about sin, we don't talk about the tshuva process. That comes during Elul, during Slichot week, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, which follows Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, not on Rosh Hashanah days. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are serious. We call it Yom Hadin, Day of Judgment, but it is also the day, and I would say even primarily, the day that we acknowledge God as our King. Take a look at the fact that during the whole Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days inaugurated with Rosh Hashanah, we don't refer to God in the Amidah as Hakel HaKadosh, the Holy God, but HaMelech HaKadosh, the Holy King. Even in the Bracha during the week of Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat, a king who loves justice and righteousness. In Aseret Yemei Tshuva we say HaMelech HaMishpat, the king who judges. That word, melech, king, which we say many, many times, let's take the simplest example, in every bracha we refer to God as melech ha'olam, it still becomes the major focus of Rosh Hashanah. Not ha'melech ha'yoshev al kisei, the king that sits on a throne is Ram v'nisa, exalted. No, it's ha'melech yoshev al kisei. The king is sitting on the throne. That's how we look at God, especially on Rosh Hashanah. Every so often, especially if a person happens, the right person, happens to come by my office when I'm in the middle of recording, I will take that opportunity to get a Dvar Torah from that person and put it on the air. It just so happens that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Pupko walked in at the right time. I asked him for a Dvar Torah with a message for Rosh Hashanah, and this is what he had to say.
Anytime.
Banachaya Mezaina, Lav Bischusa Talia Milsa, Ela Bemazla. The Gemara in Mayad Kotten tells us that a person's lifespan, the number of children that he has, and his economic well-being are not at all a question of his personal merit, but are instead part of his very constitution. Just as a person's various physical, intellectual, and spiritual strengths and weaknesses are not a question of merit, but simply the person's distinctiveness. After all, every human being is created as a very, very different creature than all others. Similarly, tells us the Gemara, the man's lifespan, his economic well-being, and the number of children that he has, these too are part of his very being, part of his very constitution, and are therefore not at all dependent on the person's actual merit. This statement has puzzled Talmudists great and small world over since time immemorial. And the reason for that is that these three points, the lifespan, the economic well-being, the number of children that a person has, happen to be the subject of most of our prayers on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we continuously ask the Ribono Shel Olam, Zochrenu L'chaim, in reference to our lifespan. We know that in reference to children, the Gemara emphasizes Bereish Hashanah Nifkedu Imahos. It was specifically on Rosh Hashanah that our matriarchs who were childless had their prayers answered. And we also know that many of the Yehiratans, the traditional supplications, do address the question of our economic well-being as well. Therefore, what is genuinely puzzling over here is how on the one hand we can say that these three have nothing to do with a person's merit, but are instead part of his very being, and at the same time make them the object of our prayers on Rosh Hashanah. Another important point which we ought to address is this. We have a general rule with holidays, which is that when they coincide, none of them is ever allowed to eclipse the other. When Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, the fact is we happen to observe both of them. In fact, we often have something called a triple Shabbos, wherein you've got Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Chanukah. Not a single one of these observances negates the other. How strange, then, that on Rosh Hashanah we make a very, very dramatic exception. Every Rosh Hashanah happens to fall out on Rosh Chodesh, and we happen to not at all observe Rosh Chodesh. Many of you have noticed that there is no Yalev Yovel for Rosh Chodesh that we say on Rosh Hashanah.
And you could even add to that, Rabbi Pupko, that we don't even bench Rosh Chodesh. We don't announce the Rosh Chodesh of Tishrei on the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah as we would do on any other month.
And the various Rishonim on Gemara Be'ah Tes Zayin get into the details of what this means, but this happens to be a very, very striking exception to our rule that when two holidays fall at the same day, we indeed observe both of them. What is still more puzzling than this halachic exception is the fact that David HaMelech decided that this exception is the very definition, the essence of Rosh Hashanah. Because the Gemara in Beyetes Zion says, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu, ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov. The Gemara tells us that the way we understand that pasuk is, Tiku shofar b'chodesh b'kese, sound the shofar on the hidden Rosh Chodesh, as if the fact that Rosh Chodesh is eclipsed is in itself the very essence of Rosh Hashanah. The truth of the matter is that the essence of Rosh Hashanah lies in the words Zehayom Tchilas Masecha Zikaron Liyom Rishon. Rosh Hashanah is the time of bringing the world into being ex nihilo, out of nothing. And because of the fact that this is the time of bringing the world into its actual being, it is specifically for that reason that we address those issues which are a matter of our constitution. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is the following message. No one needs to be the product of his past, neither in terms of his predicament, and certainly not in terms of his character. The reason we do not observe Rosh Chodesh is definitely for this very reason. The waxing and the waning of the moon represent the continuity of time. The very bracha of Rosh Hashanah is that it is wrenched out of the continuity of time and affords us the ability to reconstitute our identities, our predicament, our character, and our destiny as if it was a totally new start.
Well, if I let you hear Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Pupko, I would also like to let you hear Lavi Ze'ev Schler, my number two grandson, who will sing for us Dip the Apple, except that he starts with the words the apple, because we needed to prompt him to start the song. So his mother, standing out of the reach of the microphone, said dip, and he continues with the apple, so put that word first. It's a song you heard first here on Torah Tidbits Audio maybe 3 years ago, when grandson number one, Devir Moshe Schler, sang Dip the Apple. But here is his younger brother, middle child of that family so far, Lavi, with Dip the Apple.
The apple and Danny make a bracha. Now that you're sound of the world, we do get a lot of noise.
Okay, let's review. This week's parsha is Nitzavim. I spoke about Nitzavim, but the message was really for Rosh Hashanah. Very difficult to separate the two, but a very uplifting Sedra, even though it gets a little heavy at the beginning when it echoes the tochacha, the heavy tochacha reproach of last week's Sedra. Here we get a shortened version of it, but two things of note. Number one, there is an expression for a wayward Jew, Shoresh Poreh Rosh Vela'ana, which has a specific reference to gall and wormwood, but it refers to a wayward person. Hidden in that expression, Shoresh Poreh Rosh Vela'ana, the initial letters of those four words, Shin, Pei, Resh, and Vav, with a little rearranging, spell the word shofar, as if to say that one of the tools, or at least the starting point, perhaps, of a wayward Jew coming back to Judaism, back to Torah, back to God, is inspired by the sound of the shofar. The word shofar is related to the Hebrew word for improvement, shupar, shipur, lishaper, to improve. Another good message of the shofar. Also in Nitzavim, we have a verse which belongs to the month of Elul, also in this kind of Rashi Tevot, initials of the words. But it's an important part of the tshuva process. Umol Hashem Elokecha, and God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. Li'ahavat Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha l'ma'an chayecha. Tshuva is not done only by the individual. I passed over it before, but we should be aware and very appreciative of the fact that God lends a tremendous helping hand to the one who tries to return to Him. And here He will circumcise the heart. The words et levavcha ve'et levav zarecha, et levavcha ve'et levav rashei tevot elul. So a message as Elul winds down towards Rosh Hashanah, embark on a tshuva process, on a self-improvement process, but know, as the Torah promises us, this is not remote and lofty. This is in your hand, close at hand, to accomplish just with effort. It's a daunting job, but it's also a very rewarding job that we are able to do such a thing as become closer to God. If you sin and He pushes you away, you're out. But if He opens His arms, so to speak, towards return, what more can we hope for? On that note, I would like to wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Shana Tova Umetuka, a Ketiva V'Chatima Tova, the best of everything in the coming year. Listen to another clip, another track from the Mordechai Ben David album V'Chol Maminim. This one, similar to the previous one, has a, for lack of a better term, serious, somber first part, Hayom Harat Olam, and it is followed by a Leibedik Pepi Areshet Sifateinu. These are the two passages that are said after the blowing of the shofar during the repetition of the Amidah, and again they reflect what I believe are the two major flavors, the two major moods that the sound of the shofar puts people in. It's a difficult task, I guess. You know, if we had something only serious or only happy, we would handle that better or easier, but Jewish life is this kind of blend. And I believe this music reflects it. I know for sure the shofar reflects it. On the note of the shofar, pun intended, I want to not only remind you that the tekiah is the proud, happy sound, and the shvarim and the truah and the combination shvarim truah is the broken, serious kind of sound. That's maybe an oversimplification or maybe one approach, but I believe it. In addition, statistically, there are twice as many there are twice as many of the happy tekiah sounds as there are the broken sounds, since each broken sound must be preceded and followed by a pshuta. And that's a good ratio to keep in mind. Two parts happy, one part serious, somber, sober. That's Rosh Hashanah. And this is Mordechai Ben David.
Hayoim harasoilom, hayoim hayoim yamid bamishpot kol yitzurei yehovoilomim, hayoim harasoilom, hayoim haravasoilom, hayoim hayoim Yamid Bamishpon, Kol Yitzurei Yehovah Elohim. Aynu kirachem, kirachem, aval bonim, im kvonim, im kavonim, im kvonim, rachem, aynu kirachem, kirachem, aval bonim. Rachamim v'rotzoin sein, desein, dezichroinai sein. Kabel v'rachamim, rachamim v'rotzoin sein, desein, dezichroinai sein. Haretz tzechosein, yerav lefonecho, yerav lefonecho. Haretz tzechosein, yerav lefonecho, keil ram v'niyiso. Mevin umazin, mahavit umakshiv lekoi, lekoi, lekoi. Malchu yoseinu, kabel berachem, rachamim uvrotzoin sein, deseide, shoy froiseinu.
Mordechai ben David. I want to share with you a relatively new, for me, idea related to shofar. Very simple but elegant idea. The Torah tells us that at creation of human beings, God breathed into the nostrils of Adam the Ruach Nishmat Chaim, the breath of life. Every year, on the anniversary of that first breath of life to the first human being, I refer to the sixth day of creation, commemorated on Rosh Hashanah every year. On that day, we take that breath of life and exhale it through the shofar in fulfillment of the mitzvah, producing the sounds of the tekiot in acknowledgement to God, not only for his kingship, but for that first breath of life. I think it's a beautiful idea. And if you've never heard it before, I'm sorry I can't tell you who to attribute it to, but I definitely could recommend using it at your Rosh Hashanah table and thinking about it, pondering it, and letting it increase the kavana for the performance of the mitzvah of shofar. On that note, let me wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Shana Tova Umetuka, a Ketiva V'Chatima Tova. Let me go back a step to Shana Tova Umetuka, another one of my favorite little words for Rosh Hashanah, this one attributed to the Kotzker Rebbe, who explained the significance of Umetuka, have a good and sweet year. He said, essentially, when you wish someone a good year, everything that God does is for the good. But not every good thing that God does is sweet to us. Some of it is very bitter. You've heard the expression, a bitter pill to swallow. That's a literal, when a person's taking medication, and the medication does not taste well, but it's important for the person's health, he's going to take it, even though it's a bitter experience. And figuratively, that applies to life as well. To be told something is good for you, or good in the whole picture of things, is not enough of a wish for the coming year. We wish each of us a Shana Tova, a good year, of course. Everything that God does is good, but Umetuka, and sweet. One more, if I may. Of course, you're free to end this broadcast anytime you want. But I would like to share one idea. This is not new, but I came up with it, I believe, on my own a number of years ago. And I don't know if the microphone is picking up the background noise from Rehov Keren HaYesod. We've been having some serious road work for quite a long time. And there's a particular sound that reminds me of an interesting analogy. It is the incessant beep, 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 beep of a truck or any massive vehicle backing up. They go into reverse automatically. Beep, 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 beep means watch out. A heavy piece of equipment is moving backwards and it poses a danger in case I can't see you and stop it in time. The analogy is to a person waiting at a crosswalk to cross the street, when a large bus immediately to his right is parked at the curb and is backing up into the crosswalk. And the guy hears beep, 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 steps foot into the street anyway, into the crosswalk. Luckily, the bus driver slams on his brakes because he saw the guy coming. But he gets out of the bus and he says, "You idiot, what's the matter with you? You want to get yourself killed? Didn't you hear the beeping warning sound?" The guy thinks for a moment and says, "You know, I did hear it. I didn't understand it. I heard this incessant beeping sound, but I blocked it out of my mind, not auditory, but in thinking about it. What relevance could that sound have to me? I wasn't aware of what it meant." Of course, there are some people who say, "No, I didn't hear the sound." But there are people who hear the sound, don't understand its meaning, and therefore are not going to act appropriately. Mashal lemaha dovar dome should be obvious. To what does this compare? To the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Person goes to shul, he hears the shofar. "Did you hear the shofar?" "Yes." "Then how can you still do this, or why don't you do that, or why haven't you changed for the better?" "You know, I heard the sound, I didn't understand what it meant." That's why, maybe not that's why, but I would like to suggest, that's the meaning of the pasuk, the verse in Tehillim, "Ashrei ha'am, fortunate is the nation, happy is the nation, yod'ei teruah, who knows the sounds of the shofar." Not shome'ei teruah, he who hears the sound, Anyone can hear the sound. All they got to do is listen. Yod de'ei teruah, to understand them and to know what they mean, that truly makes the Jewish people a fortunate people. And we have to be one of those. Even though I said one more, let me give you one teeny little anecdote. Earlier this week, I went to Holon to blow shofar in three different kindergartens for autistic children. One of my daughters, Ora, is doing her second year of Sheirut Le'umi in one of the Ganim. And when I blew the shofar, one boy burst out crying. And I thought to myself how appropriate that response would be for an intelligent, thinking, and feeling adult. I don't know if it's called an appropriate response from an autistic child, but it's something that was like a mirror. I looked at him, and I saw a response to shofar, a proper response to shofar, and tried to mirror that into my own heart and soul. This time, I really mean it when I say Shabbat Shalom and Shana Tova, and I'll even put on one more Mordechai Ben David from that same album, this time not with two different flavors, but a sentiment which is a good note to end 5765 on and usher in 5766. It's from the Amidah, which we say three times a day, four times on Shabbat, and five times on Yom Kippur. During Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, one of the passages we add is B'Sefer Chaim, asking God to inscribe us in the books of good things.
Bis man korrib, bis man korrib.